from that farm.
There's going to be days and days. Good morning. I haven't looked at the roof or anything, but not nobody. The neighbors didn't say anything about that up there. Okay. But
so you got to get somebody up there to clean up trees.
Me.
Oh, you're good.
Oh yeah, I've already cleaned so many trees up there in the past. Some kind of oak thing went through, and I have killed or taken down probably like 15 big oak trees in the yard up there. And we got some pines up there like this, you know, and then an old resort cabin. But our power lines got ripped out during that storm. And they won't hook the cabin up because it's wired back in the 30s. The electricians are all away. So I don't know what we're going to do there. It's always something. I just wish they had some year-round guy in Arizona that I could count on. Good morning. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, about the same. How about yourself? Oh, nice to see you.
Father, I adore. our Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Performance your confession. I, by office, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Hallelujah. Confessional reading this morning from the Augsburg Confession Article 28 of Ecclesiastical Power. If bishops have the right to burden churches with infinite traditions and to ensnare consciences, why does Scripture so often prohibit to make and to listen to traditions? Why does it call them doctrines of devil? Did the Holy Ghost in vain forewarn of these things? Since, therefore, ordinances instituted as things necessary or with an opinion of meriting grace are contrary to the gospel, it follows that it is not lawful for any bishop to institute or exact such services. For it is necessary that the doctrine of Christian liberty be preserved in the churches, namely, that the bondage of the law is not necessary to justification, as it is written in the epistle to the Galatians, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It is necessary that the chief article of the gospel be preserved, to wit, that we obtain grace freely by faith in Christ, and not for certain observances or acts of worship devised by men. Our Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. This is our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. This, like Micah's passage, is the conclusion, the wind-up of his writing. Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, where I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Here ends our reading from the Gospel. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I love for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. like to read at this time the Old Testament readings from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Please be seated. The prophet Micah is a contemporary of Isaiah, preaching in the southern kingdom of Judah during the last days, the fall of the Old Testament kingdom. It's a time of political instability, social injustice, moral degeneracy. Priests and prophets served only for hire, and idolatry was widespread. Micah preached God's judgment. He preached the Assyrian captivity of Israel, where the northern kingdom was carried away, never to be heard from again. And he preached the exile of Judah into the Babylon captivity. But Micah also preached God's salvation through the Messiah. He, after all, is the prophet who proclaimed Bethlehem as the place of Jesus' birth. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, who is going forth far from of old, from everlasting. And he concludes his prophecy with this final book of praise. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Who is a God like you? It's a rhetorical question, of course, the answer to which is none. There are none. He is unique in his passing over the transgressions and pardoning the iniquity of his people. He goes on and says, he delights. An emotion ascribed to God. He delights in mercy, our translation says. Love might be a good translation. The Hebrew is chesed, and the Lutheran Study Bible says this, of that God's love differs from human love in that it never ceases. Luther says this about the word. I translate it as steadfast love, for it really means goodness in action. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from days of old. Micah is talking about all the promises of the Messiah that God has given to his people, from his promise to Adam and Eve that the son, the descendant, the seed of the woman, would defeat the serpent. And including Abraham's promise that of his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And of course, Jesus is that seed. And then we look at our gospel reading for today. What was the situation at the time of Jesus? Well, political instability, social injustice, moral degeneracy, priests and prophets serving only for hire. Sound familiar? the scroll. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Well, there's good reason for that. Jesus says, "I have not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then he gives us those two quick parables, followed incidentally by what we call the prodigal son. If you remember, he talked about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And as he applies that story, he says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Micah says he delights in mercy, chesed, steadfast love, goodness in action. And the like lost coin. He winds that up, having already mentioned the joy in the parable itself. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Because he delights in mercy, chesed, steadfast love, goodness in action. So how does all this mean? What does all this mean, I might ask, to us? What's the situation in our day? Well, I think I would describe it as political instability, social injustice, and moral degeneracy. Priests and preachers serving only for hire. Idolatry, that is worship of self, wealth, and pleasure. Widespread. Here we go again. Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then he sends his church to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. Today, much of what Paul claims to be the Christian church has to succumb to prowling Satan, whom Peter warned us about in his epistle. They no longer come preaching repentance and forgiveness of sin in Christ's name, but preach only acceptance of whatever hearers think and desire. But of course, sin is defined by God and not by man. And our understanding of sin is gotten from Scripture, not man-made traditions like the scribes and Pharisees. And so we, in the account in our gospel reading, if we put ourselves into that account, like to think of ourselves as the lost sheep, the lost coin found and reclaimed. And there's a sense in which we should. But if we think of ourselves in the sense that Christ sent his church to preach repentance and forgiveness of sin in his name, we ought to look in that story to the one who came to call sinners to repentance and ask how we're doing. When I do that, I don't do so well. My thoughts about the world in which we live, and maybe especially the so-called Christian church, are not motivated, I'm afraid, by chesed, steadfast love, or mercy. Jesus Those are the people that he told these parables for. His
testing his steadfast love, reached out to them with an invitation to repent and become the found coin, the found sheep, over whom God would rejoice. My thoughts, I'm afraid, when I think of them, are more like, remember Luke 18, where the Pharisee and the tax collector went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood off by himself and said, "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them other guys," and went on to brag about what a good religious man he was. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, had this to say: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We are lost sheep who have been found, but it's entirely by his steadfast love. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of his remnant heritage? Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Service, Mother Mary will be leaving for Marine boot camp.
And we'd like to include him in our prayers, followed by prayer for our communicants.
O Lord God of hosts, stretch forth your almighty arm to strengthen and protect Gordon in his service to the armed forces of our country. Support him in times of war and in times of peace, keep him from all evil, giving him courage and loyalty, and granting that in all things he may serve honestly and without reproach. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and give after this life them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you bed for you.
Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.